Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, car, what else? Cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We are so nearly at 50,000 subscribers, Tony.
How many have
we got? We've got 49,100.
Oh, well, that's not so...
Well, it's close-ish. I mean, we're less than 1,000 subscribers away. I know why you've reacted like that, because we were aiming for 50,000 subscribers December last year.
Oh, I thought it was December before.
Oh, it's been 5 months we've been talking about getting 50,000 subscribers. But we're getting there. I don't know why subscriber growth is so slow on the Behind the Glass YouTube channel. Because our audience numbers, you guys, fantastic. You come back every week. We're getting big numbers, bigger and bigger numbers every week, which we love and enjoy. But yeah, subscriptions don't really seem to be a thing.
What about your channel?
You know what? It's the same across the board. I would say, I think subscriber growth, at least how I'm experiencing, is very slow these days. And when I talk to Paul, Schmee, Seb Delaney, anyone within the automotive space in the UK, everyone's kind of seeing slow subscriber growth. But... you know, as I say, the podcast is growing. We can see that across the board with viewer numbers, engagement.
Comments,
etc. So it's sort of strange that then that's not translating into subscriber numbers. So if you're watching here on the Behind the Glass YouTube channel and you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Because it's a nice number that we wanted to aim at, isn't it?
50's nice because it just opens another door when we get to 50. It means we can get to 100 and then 200 and then... we'll be up with Schmee before you know it.
Yeah, well, I'll try and do a few little sneaky tactics to try and bump those numbers if I can. A huge shout out to Ben, who does the edits for these episodes each week, but also the incredible teasers that we put on Instagram and TikTok. So yeah, if you don't follow me on those platforms, I'm at Seen Through Glass. You can get these little amusing teasers.
TikTok.
When I'm not dancing, there are little edits of these podcasts. But yeah, so we're really hoping to tick over 50K as soon as possible. And actually, you mentioned the main channel. Something really interesting has happened the last couple of weeks. So this year, my aim was to do one video a week. Yeah. And I was really enjoying that because for me, it means I can really like,
relax. Engage.
Yeah, well, no, not relax. Work harder. It's allowing my creativity to really go to its full extent. You know, okay. I can really...
explore new avenues.
Thank you, you know. Whereas if you're churning out 2, 3, 4 videos a week, you've got to be a bit more brutal with things. So I was loving it. And actually the channel was responding really well. Because of the road trip we just went on, I'm up to 2 videos a week. Suddenly, it's like, whoa. Channel doesn't like it. Well, supposedly the main channel audience doesn't like it because it's like too much content to consume.
Well, it's died.
Well, it has a bit because I say this year.
Funny because I was on it.
You're not on it yet. Oh, it's going to go down. It's going to go down even further when you appear. I find YouTube. I mean, this is what, 6 years of me into YouTube, and I'm still continuously learning and baffled by it and confused by it. And
you're always learning, mate.
Always learning. But I'm as quickly as I can, as soon as this trip's content gone, I'm going back to one video a week. I enjoy it more. Clearly the audience seem to enjoy it more. I get to, as I say, be more creative with the content, indulge my passions a bit more. So yeah, for those of you that watch the main channel, FYI, going back to one video a week very soon. Now, lots to discuss today, actually.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of car news. I want to come on to something towards the end, Porsche related, no surprise there.
Oh!
Do I tease? I was going to tease that.
I'm not well.
Oh, I wasn't going to tease that. Oh. Maybe people will figure it out. Tony has man flu, as I did a few weeks ago. Whether it's COVID or not, we don't know. Apparently not at this stage, but I had a lot of negative results before they went positive. The man sitting here saying, I don't have COVID. We have to believe, I guess, the science at this stage. Let's see. You say you're getting better.
Yeah,
so if you had COVID, you're coming out of it.
Well, I'm not a machine anyway, so I'm fixed now, you know, a couple
sure
of days.
And case.
I still got to go to work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I couldn't. It's Wednesday today.
It's
we
Wednesday.
We normally record this on a Monday.
Yes.
And I couldn't come Monday because I really wasn't well. And I had to go and do my proper job, even though I was dying. I even had to go home.
So they don't
like me.
I don't want to get into the sort of COVID chat because I know there are lots of people who, you know, there's even sort of COVID naysayers and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But of course you can be ill and not have COVID these days.
Mm-hmm.
And that, supposedly that is what's going on with you right now. And we have to believe that that's the truth.
Yeah.
We can't sit there and the minute anyone has a sniffle or a scratchy throat go, oh, I've got COVID. So
the other problem is, mate, as well, is that me included, not been ill for 3 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, your immune system is...
It's a shock to the system.
Of course.
So, I mean, I rarely get ill anyway. And you're going to notice this in a minute when you have children at some point.
Oh.
When you have kids,
right.
You get ill a lot more than when you haven't got them. Because they're just
they're grubby.
No, they're just like... they're just like breed germs.
Yeah, they're grubby, mate.
Yeah.
Playing in the mud and stuff.
I mean, I wash her every day and everything. But she still like brings like...
diseases into your house.
Yeah. And then the dog. The dog eats his own... feces.
Well, but yeah, but I mean, do you make out with him? What's going on with the dog?
No, but like, you never know. Like, you got to be careful when he licks your face, you know, because if you just
let
his
him.
Own. No, I don't. It's not about letting him. He's quite a big dog there, mate.
Maybe you've got a weird dog flu. Maybe you've got something bizarre, not even COVID.
I wonder if dogs can get COVID.
I think they did a study that they couldn't. That was early on. I think there was a study. Maybe they can carry it. I don't know. But Twiggy's here, by the way. She's on the floor, fast asleep. I don't think she's got COVID.
She's much better behaved than my dog. I need to put a picture up of my dog at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring him in when your dog's not here because they haven't met yet and they need to meet and be friends first because there will cause chaos in here.
Or Jackson would eat Twiggy.
No, he won't. He's a friendly dog. But I don't think... We've only seen him once.
I haven't seen him I came to the studio and he was there. I haven't seen him at least for 4 or 5 weeks.
No, mate, he's like a dog now.
Yeah.
He's not a puppy anymore.
It's a giraffe.
And just to give you half an idea of how big he's getting, I went to his mum's house. So
Jackson's mum's
house.
Okay.
It's got a 2-year-old sister.
Okay.
From another litter.
Sure.
And then
stepsister.
Like a stepsister.
Half sister.
Half sister. Yeah. And then a proper sister that's the same age as him.
Okay.
So he's miles bigger than the proper sister and the real sister and the same size as the 2-year-old half sister.
Yeah, he's going to be a monster, mate.
Yeah.
It always was going to be a bruiser. I remember seeing the size of his feet when he was a tiny puppy going, oh, that's going to be
a
huge
But, mate, it's not funny now.
No.
I mean, he's just...
signed yourself up to it. I told you, get a small dog. They're much easier to cram in cars.
No, I love him. But you know what I mean? Like, he's a pain in the arse, mate.
Welcome to dog life.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, please do bring him in because I think the audience would be keen to have a Jackson update.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah, I was going to tease
the car
fact.
Show, by the way.
Yeah, this is a car show. I keep forgetting. Sometimes it's a political show. I was going to tease the fact that I got some exciting news this week. Actually, two big things happened this week, and I'm not going to say too much, and you don't talk, because you know, but you don't want to... I don't know. Anyway, two new cars are coming to the channel this year. New cars.
Too much money.
Too much money, mate. I've gone mental.
I don't know what's going on with you.
Does mean the RS6 is going to go. That's for sure. Because one of the cars I wasn't expecting to come this year, and the other car I thought was coming in like October, November time, and it's coming in like June, July.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, that RS6 needs to vacate my bank account very quickly.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's all kicking off. I got a phone call. I got one phone call, and I was like, oh, wow. And then I got another phone call. I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah, that's kind of breaking news for the amazing Behind the Glass audience.
Are you flapping?
A little bit. Neither are cheap. But, yeah, it's super exciting. It's not a it wouldn't take a genius to work out what they are. If you are regular listeners of this podcast, viewers of the main channel, I've been very vocal about both cars, both car makers, for the last 12 to 18
months. If you wind
months,
me so. Up, I'm going to tell them.
Let's leave it there. I like to share. And it was an exciting week. I was like, oh my God, new cars.
Oh my God.
But talking about new cars, did you see that TVR came out this week with a bit of an update about new car?
Mate, I can't. Mate, please.
Did you see that?
I saw it.
So for anyone who missed it, TVR, who, when did they launch that Griffith? In like 2010? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but the new thing.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but yeah, it was.
2018, 2019?
It was Geneva, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been Geneva 2019, I think, TVR.
I think it might have been before then, mate.
Griffith. Anyway, this was supposedly the comeback of TVR, right? You know, when it was supposed to launch. 2018 it launched. And it just, nothing happened. It just sort of just completely died to death, and no one knew what happened. I mean, even Schmee was like, I had a deposit, but I don't anymore, because it didn't look like that car was being made. And whilst everyone thought it had gone into the graveyard, suddenly they came out saying, oh guys, we're now going to sponsor Formula E because the Griffith is going to be electric. And I think the whole automotive world went, oh, piss off.
Yeah, go on.
Like, come on.
Please.
Because, I mean, you couldn't build the V8 car. You're now going to try and build an electric car? It's such a shame, because I think as petrol heads, we would like to see TVR back, right? I know you're going to say you don't, but...
Mate, one of them nearly killed me. One of them old things. Yeah. I don't even know what... I mean, it's like you're in a canoe.
Right. But what, I mean, did you nearly kill yourself in one, or did the car nearly kill you?
Both.
Okay.
Like, full on into a tree nearly killed me.
Yes, okay, I can see that. They weren't famously sort of the most dynamic cars ever, right?
No.
Kind of an English muscle car. But they looked cool, and it's a cool name, and they were doing something unique and different, and that's a good thing, isn't it?
No.
Don't we want that?
No.
It's like Morgan. Don't lie.
It's made out of wood.
I won't try to wind you up there. Yeah, so I mean, cool. If there's a TVR ever for sale anywhere that someone buys, then I will applaud that company. But at the moment, I think
I wonder how much they are now, TVRs. The old ones, the ones with engines in, not this.
You want to have a look?
Yeah, have a quick look.
On eBay?
No.
Isn't there an Auto Trader?
There might be, yeah. Probably might be someone on Piston Heads, I don't know. Does Piston Heads still exist?
Yeah. Would you not advertise on Piston Heads?
No.
Really?
No, waste of money.
Okay, so there's 48 TVRs for sale on Auto Trader.
Yeah, they are.
The most expensive...
Is it the Camaro?
No, it's a Grand Tourer, a 1965 TVR, 120 grand. The Chimera, you're right, is 100 grand apparently, 1998.
What?
Cigaris, 77 grand.
Cigaris, that's the Larry one.
Okay, so the Cigaris is regularly quite valuable. They're around 70 grand for Cigaris, which must be what they were when they came out, no?
No, 2005. Less than that. I mean, that's a death trap, that thing.
That's a death trap. You got some Tuscans at like 40 grand. I gotta be honest, because it was a little bit before my time, I never really know which model's which. Do you know what I mean? Like, they all blend into one for me a bit, TVR.
Yeah.
There'll be a big TVR community watching this being like, oh my God, no!
I'm not sure it's big. I mean, it might be a
They're out there, but...
Yeah. You probably get them all in the phone box. Yeah.
I don't know. I still do kind of... You know, I hate to see British brands disappear.
They always do, though, don't they?
Actually, let's take a bit of a weird segue here.
Yeah.
For a conversation that we had when we were on our trip about McLaren. Do you remember this?
Well, which one? We regularly speak about McLaren, to be fair. McLaren.
Unnamed sources. We won't reveal any information.
Oh, yeah, I know
here.
What you mean. There you go.
That insinuated that McLaren are poised to be bought out by Audi.
Mm-hmm.
So any Formula One fans or followers will know that these sort of rumours have been swelling quite a bit. Porsche maybe buying Red Bull, Audi or even BMW potentially buying or becoming part owners of McLaren Formula One team. But sort of relatively read up source with sort of credible information said that Audi are looking to buy the McLaren group, or McLaren want to sell the group.
I think that's more like it. I think what will happen is that they want the cream, which is the F1 team, because... for the fuel and the development and whatnot. Sure. And what McLaren are probably saying is, well, you can have the team, but you've got to have the cars as well.
You've got to
have the road cars.
We don't want
the cars. Yeah. No. You're not having the team unless you have the cars. So that's probably what's happening.
I think McLaren need help with the road cars, full stop.
Well, no, they just need help.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah. But I think if Audi aren't, like, they're going to try and shop or sell the cars to someone, aren't they? Because they just need help. McLaren are in trouble, let's face it.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how to feel about that because, you know, I've long said I want McLaren to succeed. I do want McLaren as a, I love the McLaren brand, the idea of McLaren, their history, what they have tried to achieve, some of their cars. But as we've said many, many times before, and there's no point in us doing a McLaren bashing episode, they've just got it wrong and they're now in trouble. And I do want them to be saved, but do I want them to be saved by Audi? Because then they're just another Lambo, right? Or are they? I mean, Audi have actually done a pretty good job with Lambo. Like, how do you feel? If Audi bought McLaren and sorted out all the electronics and the issues...
Well, I'd buy one. Well, I bought a Lambo. I'd never bought a Lambo prehistorically.
Fair.
So, yeah. I'd definitely give them another try.
I think it would be a great thing.
No, they'll sort the car out, mate.
Yeah, as long as McLaren stayed true to what they were trying to achieve from day one. Just get some people who can actually achieve it.
The problem is that Audi Group are a money-making machine, obviously, and they've turned Lambo into that, mainly because of that Urus over the last few years. Maybe that'll be on the cars. Maybe they'll turn McLaren into like another Lamborghini in terms of there'll be an SUV that's based on an Urus or based on an RSQ8 or based on... I mean, the list goes on. How many cars there are, that Porsche GT thing. They're all fundamentally the same.
And if you've ever been to any kind of McLaren press conference or read any of their press materials, the one thing they've always said is that they'll never build an SUV. And I do agree that I think if Audi or BMW or any big brand comes in and takes over them, the SUV's happening straight away. And my only concern is like... I don't want to see the Artura, which at this point...
Where is that car?
Mate, nearly going to be scrapped. They just can't turn it on. Like there's one satin black car cruising around Richmond. I don't know what it's doing. I see it on the A3 all the time. I've literally seen it about 4 or 5 times now. It must be a development car or something. But it's the one and only car that I think can work. That car's basically in the bin. I don't want it to be an R8. I don't want them to come along and just... It's an iteration of the R8, a hybrid R8.
Yeah, but is the Huracan an R8?
Yes.
Not really.
Yes, it is, mate.
It is, but it's not quite. It has got a bit more character than a...
100%. But it is just an R8 turned up to 12 or turned up to Lambo.
Yeah, it's a VAG group car, of course, but it works. At least it works now.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong there. I don't know how I feel about it. I sort of think it would be good for them and it needs to happen because I don't want McLaren to disappear. But in their current state, I don't really see much point in them existing as well.
Well, I think they've got to make... I mean, I know they don't want to make an SUV, but I mean, they've got to make an SUV because look at them all.
Mm. Oh, yeah, they have to.
Because that's the market, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's the... You make your SUV because that's your bread and butter. And your supercars and your sports cars are your cream on the top.
Agreed.
So they're all doing it.
Even Ferrari are doing it, mate.
They're all doing it.
Well, that must be any day now we're getting that thing, aren't we? That 4x4 thing.
The prang-pong.
Ping pong,
whatever.
FUV, the Ferrari utility vehicle.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be any day now. We're going to see that. And actually, speaking of Ferraris, do you see that V12 Roma creeping around? Everyone was going nuts about.
Yeah,
it.
We spoke about that briefly.
It's going to be it's going to be the development car for the 812 replacement, isn't it?
Right. Okay.
I mean, I'm certain it's not. What it is. It's not a test mule.
Right. Okay.
It would make no sense to do a V12 Roma. It doesn't. How does that fit in the Ferrari range or lineup? It just cannibalizes so much of their own market. It's not a thing, mate.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
It's got to be a test. Because we're due an 812 replacement at some point.
Especially when you think what they're doing in terms of downgrading engines in terms of, you know, I'm actually surprised and I wouldn't mind betting that the new Roma will have the V6 in it.
Yes, sorry. So yeah, the next iteration will have that V6.
Yeah, so why are they going to put a V12 in?
Yeah, and maybe not even a hybrid version, just the V6, non-hybrid.
Yeah.
It would make sense actually to be the entry-level cars.
600 horsepower
Roma V6. Roma convertible, yeah. 600 horsepower V6.
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, if it can sound as good as it does in the 296, I'll take it.
Yeah.
What a car. So yeah, some interesting developments going on left, right and centre.
The Spider's come out.
Supercar world, the 296 Spider, yeah. You say it like that's a big surprise. I mean, Ferrari, like, the new, most exciting, exhilarating, ultimate passion. Oh, it's a 296 without roof.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen this car already.
Yeah, literally.
You know what's weird with Ferrari? It's not weird. I mean, quite a lot of them do it now. Is that Ferrari always used to wait. Last couple of years, they haven't. They always used to wait 18 months before they released the Spider. Let the coupes go out first. Now they do them straight away. Yeah. You could order them both together. Weird, isn't it?
It's very weird because when you're doing fixed roof spiders, okay, not always with their cars, but, you know, especially if you've got carbon tubs, you know, if you've got structural rigidity as well, yeah. A bit like with the 650S McLaren, actually, speaking of McLaren and Ferrari, if you launch them at the same time, surely you would always pick the spider. Like, you know, because if you've got hard top and structural rigidity, why would you not have the ability to put the roof down or even just the rear window down?
Yeah.
It adds so much more to the driving experience.
Of course.
And also, if you'd ordered a 296 coupe, and as we know, order books are, well, sorry, production times are long, and they'd launched the spider now, would you not be calling up your dealer and say, I'll just sack off the coupe, I'll take a spider instead?
I'm sure people have.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have.
Certain.
Yeah.
Maybe the route I'd go, I think, but I'm not lucky.
I'd quite like one of them. I'll have a spider when they. I'm not going to order one, but I think I'll let them cool down a bit because they will cool down, and I might have one of them.
I really want you to drive that car.
Yeah.
I'll be really interested to see how you get on with it.
Do you think?
I think you will. I mean, because I don't think there's literally nothing to not like. The hybrid thing takes a little bit of getting used to, driving a Ferrari hybrid.
It's not like my current car, though, is it?
No, because this is a GTB. It's a Berlinetta.
Yeah, okay.
So this is not there's not a stripped out track focused car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what you've got at the minute is that stripped out track focused car. But I think if you went into this, it, like every generation, you've owned many 488s. It's a prime example. You've
made, love them.
You didn't get the F8, interestingly.
No.
So the F8, a lot of people said in its racy mode, was comparable to a Pista, maybe in its sport mode. Do you know what I mean? Like it was of that level, like, because they always take steps above. So
20% normally.
If you look at a
458 Italia and then go to a Speciale or a 488 to a Pista, they're normally around 20% better. All round.
Hard to judge the 488 to the 458 Speciale because of the change in engines, but at the same point, a 488 GTB had some characteristics that could keep up with the Speciale in certain ways. So hard to judge, but what I'm saying is an F8 Tributo in full mode is somewhere nearer a Pista, so therefore the 296 GTB is... Somewhere, what am I trying to say?
No,
do you
no,
see what I'm trying to say?
I do know what you... And do you know what was weird? Can I talk about this? Has your video gone live on Thingy's SF90 yet?
No, so there's a video coming live.
See, we're getting good at this.
That's why earlier I was nervous about giving a teaser because I thought you were going to jump in and just reveal everything. But coming soon, probably in a couple of weeks or 10 days or so. We found Shmi at the Nürburgring and went out on his SF90.
Nice man.
Yeah, it's one of the last videos of our road trip, so I'm trying to get that as quickly as possible so I can go back to one video a week. We can talk about it a bit. Go on.
Yeah, so he is interesting because I looked at them cars and I probably would like a spider. I think they're a bit too much money at the minute and they have come off a bit. But he said how soft it was and I won't like that. He said it is a road car. So, I mean, they're not going to do they won't do a Pista version in that, will they?
Or I think they will.
Really? In the SF90?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I don't think they will, boy. Because really? I think that was a celebration, yeah.
Of what?
SF90. 90 years of Ferrari, wasn't it?
Sure, but...
No, I don't think they will. I think that's it. 1,500 coupes, 1,500 spiders. Bad marketing by Ferrari, by the way. And they'll do a Larry 296.
Of course.
Of course. But I don't think...
Maybe you're right.
And actually, while we're on the subject of track-focused cars...
Please.
I said this yesterday.
Go on.
STO prices. Flipping hell, they've come off. Lamborghini STOs.
Okay, so talk to me about this, because I have a thought about it. So go on. Where were they? Where are they now?
Well, initially they were... we have... You know, we do see this with a lot of cars. But initially they were on at like anywhere between 375 and like 360 to 375, roughly. Now they're on at 320 and 325. Mm. Lambo dealers were, you know, I don't know whether they're one owner cars, but that's closer to list, if not list. And I bet an ad persona car with some extras on them, they probably are that money. So, I mean, I just don't see the point of it. That's the problem. I like the idea of it.
But it's I think this has been a problem since day one, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because when they first came out, I remember visiting two dealerships that had them for sale. And they both said at the time they were really struggling with them.
Yeah.
They were offering them under list.
Yeah.
And they were struggling with them. And I think maybe they've cooled off, but maybe people were just falsely advertising them or advertising them too expensively. And actually they've just been a struggle because they don't make a lot of sense. As you say, like, you've got this kind of weird thing where you can't really take them on tracks. They're too loud.
Yep.
They're super hardcore on the road. They're
no space.
Like, no space, super brutal, like all these different things. So I think even if you're into your Lambos, you're not rushing to buy one. And it's a lot of money for a Huracan, and they've just launched another version of it, that Technica or whatever it is. So yeah, I don't see it as being very appealing. But one other thing on the flip of that is 765 LTs. Which I forgot we have an ongoing bet about, which Paul reminded us of.
He's got nothing better to
he's
do.
He's got nothing better to do. Remembers all the conversations we've had that we don't even
and
remember.
And he even went back a year in our conversation. Screenshot it. I mean, that bloke.
I said that in a year's time, so from July last year, the cheapest 765 LT will still be more expensive than the cheapest Pista. And you said, no way, not a chance. And I was like, no, just you wait and see.
And not far away, mate.
At the moment, the cheapest 765 LT is 335. The cheapest piece is 280.
Oh, no.
No?
I don't think you're right.
Oh.
I think they've come up, mate. I think,
oh, have they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's have a look
as they
here.
Do.
Oh, let's have a look
I
here.
I mean, I don't care.
I thought they were much closer.
I've sold my coupe now. They are closer. I think they're like, I think if equivalent, when I looked at miles.
So the lowest is 289.
Yeah, but it's probably a higher mileage car.
No, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
I said the bet was the cheapest 765 LT will be more than the cheapest 488 Pista.
Is that what you said?
That was the bet.
The exact what you said.
It just said, yeah, exactly what I said.
Because I'm not sure you actually said that, like, word for word.
Yeah. Because I'm going to bring it up first.
No, because I'm trying to find it. Because
yeah, I got it right here.
I'm not having this. Paul
okay,
Wallace.
You ready? So, okay, I bet in 12 months, the cheapest 765 LT will be more expensive than the cheapest Pista.
Yeah, but you got to go mile.
No. Don't work your way out of a bet, mate. So that is the simple bet. That's all I was saying. The cheapest 765 LT. And you went, no chance, no way. Well, I think there is quite a strong chance, Tony.
Yeah, because the Pista's got loads of miles on it.
Well, this one has 3,000
miles. It's left-hand drive, by the way.
Fine, sure. But mate,
it's left-hand drive.
Don't argue with the bet. It was a simple bet and I knew you would fall into it. I knew you would try and back your way out of it.
If you got car for car, I bet there's not a lot of difference.
Car for car.
Yeah, no, sure.
Mate, you can't do car for car because the piece is older. So there's always a way for you to worm in and out of it.
But that's what I'm saying.
And that's why I said it at the time. That was the bet I was making with you at the time.
The Pista's
classic
older.
You. Dig. I'm not wrong.
The Pista's older and it's still similar money to the 765.
No, it's not.
And
it's about 50 grand less.
And there's millions of them. Millions.
Anyway, I'm still winning that bet. So, moving on.
It's a fiver I own, by the way. £5.
Yes. Yeah,
is it worth betting £5?
Clearly, because I'm about to win it. talking of cars at crazy prices, can we mention Range Rovers?
Yes, please.
So, some
Which
of the...
Which ones in particular?
Well, the new shape Range Rovers have just started to hit the market.
Yeah.
Global Press Drive still haven't happened, so...
No.
Interesting, because we don't know anything about the car yet, but they're hitting the market, and before anyone's found out what they're like or how they are trading at what? 30? Or are they trading? Sorry, they're being advertised at 30, 40 grand over list.
Between 30 and 50 over, advertised. Now, what started this conversation was, I have had several calls from several different people, as I often do when a new model car comes out of around that price range, because it's what I do. Mm-hmm. People calling me up, sending me messages, got this car, trying to get bids for it. It's a Dutch auction, basically, which I never get involved in. I'm not interested. That's the terminology.
Right. Like, not happening in the Netherlands. Because I was going to say, I wouldn't.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pandemic for a car auction after our experience a few weeks ago. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this is saying Dutch.
Sure, auction. Okay.
So, yeah, they were asking for a check for me to buy the car, just like 25, 30 grand over list, for me to write a check for a Range Rover. So are you joking?
As I say, no one's experienced it. Okay, fine, look, it's Range Rover, epitome of luxury in many, many ways. They've been a fantastic product for 25 years. But, and before that, people will argue, it's not going to be bad, but to be trading at that much over for a Range Rover that, as I say, no one's actually experienced yet.
No.
Seems insane.
But can I just say, and I completely understand that the new one's got to be more money than the old one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from the old one having slightly older infotainment system, the new one will have an upgraded infotainment system, be more, you know, all the tech inside. And it will be probably a little bit nicer inside, finished. But, you know, a Range Rover in general is finished lovely, full stop. To drive down the road, how much better will it be than the outgoing model? To drive, because you're not looking at lap times and trying
to... No, I think if you drove back to back, you'll probably notice a difference. What? You know, I think the air suspension is going to be a lot stronger. I think it'll be a flatter ride. It's supposed to be a quieter ride. I'm sure it's going to be more comfortable. I'm sure, as I say, that environment, that interior environment, the technology, it will be better. If you drove back to back, I think you'd be like, the old one's definitely the old one.
Yeah.
But you're so right, where it's not going to be night and day. You're not going to be like, oh my God, this is a revolution.
No.
And... also, it's not like it's a limited run. Oh my God, this is the first ever Ferrari 4x4 SUV FUV.
No.
It's a Range Rover.
Yeah.
There will be gazillions of them over time.
Yeah.
Do you not think this is people trying to take advantage of current production delays?
No, this is just the car market, mate. This is just people in general, the general public. Everyone thinks they're a car dealer.
Mm.
Everyone thinks, I've got something so special. And listen, they're totally within their rights to ask what this. Their car, you can do what you like with it. I don't have a problem with it. The people that are buying them
are mad.
Madness. Yeah, like I was trying to think of a word that wasn't that you know, as insulting, but yeah.
But if you
need your head testing,
if you're Johnny, and you've all had Range Rovers your entire life, you know, for the estate.
But you've ordered one if you're Johnny.
Well, yes, but because of the dealer was just an idiot.
Yeah, well, you go to
another dealer. He messed up his order. Mine's not coming till July because this guy called Derek messed me around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's one there being offered to you, and yours is specced up at 135 grand, and someone calls you up and says, I've got one right now, I can give it to you 145, 150. Oh, just screw it. Call Derek, he's a bell end, cancel it, and I'll take this one.
But it's not 15 grand or 10 grand.
No, it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
It's, you know, if someone wants me to write a check for 25, 30 over, I then want another 15 grand on top. You know.
This is what I don't get, right? Because you've hit the nail on the head. If you want a new Range Rover, you've already ordered one.
Yeah.
And so are you really going to pay that much more just to beat your weight? Which is maybe, if your worst case scenario, if you were slow off the blocks, is maybe another 6 months. A worst case scenario, yeah. I think. So are you really going to go and spend 50 grand over on a Range Rover, on a diesel Range Rover,
yeah,
for example,
yeah,
that's going to be worth 20 grand in 10 years' time?
Yeah, yeah.
It literally
will be worth 20 grand in 10 years' time, because look at the old ones.
And I say, okay, fine. If something had come out, some press, or every single press review had come out, this is the best SUV of all time. It's the best luxury car. You must own one of these. And people are going, heck, I didn't order one because I thought it'd be a new Range Rover, and I can't believe they're all saying this. I want one. Fine, that you might explain some of the lunacy to go and pay overs, but like TDFs and stuff like that. But no, not even like TDFs. No, because
it's not mass produced.
No, I know. There's basically no justification.
There's no just. It's a mass produced product. All it is, just wait.
Oh, I know what. Here's my one. What if you're like a chauffeur company or a rental company?
Yeah, but if you're them, normally you'll get them quicker anyway because you're not ordering one.
Yeah.
You've ordered a few, and if you're a big rental or chauffeur company, you've gone direct to Land Rover. Yeah, I would assume that's what they do. You get looked after, yeah. So, yeah, it's listen, we've seen it before. We saw it with the Evoque. We saw it with the outgoing Sport when they first come out. We didn't see it with the Velar, oddly enough, because I think they were too much money. But it's just cars in general. Look at the current RS3. They've softened. Yep. They've softened right off now.
From people asking what one stage up at 90 grand, people were asking for RS3s?
like there were 15 grand over list. Same with current Golf R's. People asking stupid money for them. You know, fair enough. Listen, if you want to, if you think you can make some money, no, I don't have a problem with that. No problem. But the people that are buying them, like. Just, I mean, flipping hell. You've either got more money than sense, or you need to be recaptured very quickly.
I think you're right. I think you can't necessarily blame anyone for trying to make a bit of cash.
No.
If a car is selling at insane more money than you paid for it, and you're not that in love with that car, and you're not really using it, then yeah, if you think you can
but
sell it.
Are they selling?
Well,
exactly.
We don't know, do we?
No.
Because I've also been offered two.
Yeah.
Two, not for myself, but like, each and anyone who's interested, I've got two for sale.
Overs?
Overs, yeah, of course.
A lot over?
I didn't even ask because I said, I don't really know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I can already tell you the next car that's going to go crazy like this that you're going to just not understand.
Go on.
The GR86.
The little Toyota.
Did you hear about this?
No, go on.
UK allocation sold out in 90 minutes.
Oh, that's nice. A Yaris all over again.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
But it proves the point that there is such a demand for affordable performance cars.
Yeah.
As we've seen, and we've spoken about so many times, as cars like the Cayman, the M2, the RS3 is a prime example, have got the Golf are more and more expensive, cheap in relative terms, fun, engaging, low power, rear wheel drive, whatever cars, for the masses, is that's what MX-5s, GR86, Yaris GR, etc. It's what people get excited about.
But that won't be 30 grand over, mate. I mean, that might be 2, 3, 4 grand over,
nope.
Maybe.
I here's my next bet. I reckon some of the early GR86s, I think they're like 32 grand list, something like that. I reckon they'll be 45 grand.
No, yep. Don't be serious.
Yep. Some of the very early cars, I
they can advertise them at that.
Yes, but. Yes. That's what I can say. They're going to be advertised at 45 grand.
The world's gone mad, mate. Honestly,
it's going to happen. Watch this space.
What is it? Just same as the old car? Bit more power?
Yeah, better, more powerful, a little bit more powerful. I think better looking. It's, you know.
Not interested.
No, it's totally not you. And probably,
I like the
GT86.
I like them.
Yeah.
I do like them.
Well, this is a newer version.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like,
it's not 45 grand, though.
No.
We can have the Supra for the same money.
Yeah, but.
But what?
But what I'm saying is because there's no allocation, and because it's this thought of affordable fun, which is no longer going to be affordable if you're paying 45 grand, I just think it's going to go insane. I really think it's going to go insane.
You know, the problem is, it is like the fear of missing out.
Yep.
It's all totally. It is, and we've seen it with the Defenders, and we've seen it with so many other cars. You can buy, nowadays, whatever you like.
Mm.
No,
mate. Except a GT3.
No. But you know, in general, you don't have to buy that car. Your world is your oyster.
Sorry, okay, good point.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Everyone makes a car for everyone. So instead of paying the big overs for something now, why don't you have a stopgap car that will be just as good? Mm-hmm. Because if you're paying the big overs for a car that really isn't really worth it, but you just don't, you want it now because you're going to miss out, pay that money for a better car, essentially, at the right money that someone's not, it's not as desirable, wait for that car to come down a bit, because they do come down, because the only person who's going to get hurt when you pay the overs is the person that's paid the overs.
Sure.
You know?
Of course.
So they do come back eventually, mate. They, you know, they, and they come back most of the time quite quickly as well, because when the first few don't sell, which is what happens, people go, oh, we've got this wrong.
Yeah.
It's not really worth. And some of the big manufacturers, the dealers are sometimes quite clever. They say, oh, there's not many of these coming this year. Well, that's a lie.
I want to see, is it the UK allocation for the first year or in total? Let's have a quick look. So
the little Toyota.
Yeah. So Toyota also told Autocar that any additional allocation for the UK market is not in the plan at this stage. Now, I remember with the Yaris, there was some talk about this as well, that there were sort of weird allocations and initially there wasn't too many and then they gave more or something like that. Yeah. So I wonder if this is maybe a little bit of clever marketing, because also as Toyota, you would be really naive now to see that for them to sell out in 90 minutes and not go, heck, let's build some more.
Yeah.
If the demand is that insane, let's give them a whole other load of allocation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They probably gave a small number initially because they're like, well, we don't really know what the demand's going to be like. Mm. I mean, and they've flown out the door.
Yeah. And these are businesses. We've always said it, these manufacturers, they are businesses. And in the end, I mean, this at this current time, it's really hurting them, this pandemic and the war and what's going on, because it's the manufacturers that normally is winning all the time.
Absolutely.
They're the people that win. But at the moment, we've all been winning because they haven't had the product to sell, so because they can't keep up with demand. But it'll all go back. It's all going to go back, mate. When the wheels start turning again and everything goes back to complete normality again, if there's such a thing as normality anymore.
Yeah, bloody hell.
It'll all go back to normal and everyone's going to have their pants pulled down and the world's going to end. And
including me with my two new cars coming. I mean, I feel,
yeah, you're going to be a prime
example. I'm in trouble.
You are going to be back at your mum and dad's before you know it. You take your wife and
Twiggy,
your dog
we're moving. So going to happen, Ben. Well, fingers crossed, if we get to 50,000 subscribers on this channel.
Level 900 really makes a difference.
Hey, it does, Tony. Okay, well, look, let's come on to it, because I'm always looking for an opportunity to talk about Porsche if I'm not talking about Ferrari. And this week we got our first proper sort of nod from Porsche of the fact that we're going to see about 30,000 iterations of the 992, 911 this year, or at least in the next couple of years, because they started to tease the car that we've long waited for, the Sport Classic.
Uh-huh.
So I think a lot of rumors have been swirling and circulating about the variations of the 911, the 992 generation 911 that we're going to be getting. Sport Classic has been one of them, last seen in the 997 generation, so quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a kind of a celebration of 70s era Porsches. I think 70s era Porsches, must be 70 years. It was based on a Carrera S. I think it was based on a Carrera S, not a Carrera GTS. Manual car, ducktail spoiler, cool grey paint,
nice
sort of bubble roof, Fuchs style wheels. It was more of a sort of, at that time, I think they were celebrating or showing off, what do they call it, Porsche exclusive or exclusive design. It was a way to sort of launch that and say, look what we can do. So more of a cosmetic kind of job than anything else. So we've now found out, because I think an embargo got broken, that we're getting it for the 992, but we don't really know yet exactly what it will be under the skin.
Yeah.
There's some talk about a manual turbo, manual rear-wheel drive turbo, crash, which would be very cool. Well, not if it's detuned. If it's sort of what, because what's a turbo these days? Not an S, what's a turbo?
Six something.
Yeah, I think they're talking about around 500. So if it's a bit of a detuned engine. If you look at the pictures, it hasn't got any intakes like the turbo does. So because all 911s are turboed now, it's got a bit confusing, isn't it? So
very.
Because everyone was like, oh, the long-awaited rear-wheel drive turbo 911. I was like, well, that's a 911 Carrera.
Literally.
With a manual gearbox.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, don't they already make that in a Carrera S?
Literally.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling it's going to be a GTS. I think it'll be a GTS under the skin.
Right.
Manual GTS.
Well, they must be nearly 500 horsepower now, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
they've
I mean.
They've got to be.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're 504 or something.
So a turbo's going to have to be 550 or something.
But I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be a GTS.
Right.
I think that's what I'm predicting.
Okay,
I'm predicting a GTS with this awesome aggressive ducktail, supposedly around 1,250 units. The 997 generation was only 250 units, but around 250 units. And yeah, it's going to be a collector's car. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to light our world on fire. I don't think we're going to, oh my God, I really want a sport classic. It's going to look cool, like the old one looked cool. But I don't think it's going to be like mind-boggling to drive. I just think it's going to be a sort of celebration of classic 911s.
Yeah, and no one's going to be able to buy it.
No, I mean, literally. Yeah. I mean, there's 1,200 units. That's worse than the Speedster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. It's not hope in hell.
Was there 1946?
Something, yeah, yeah, whatever the year of Porsche is. Yeah. We should know that. But yeah, so it will be a collector's car, but cool to see. But as I say, it starts what we think is going to be a whole run of special edition 992s. We've still got the 3RS to come.
Yeah.
Expecting that in the summer.
I mean, that has got to be soon, because all I keep seeing now is clips of it going around the Nürburgring.
I think it's like ready and they're just like waiting to get all the other stuff out. They've probably got a bit delayed with everything that's been going on in the world. So yeah, we've got 3RS coming. In September-ish time, we're expecting the 2.7 RS celebration.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the 50th anniversary. It must be the 50th anniversary of the 2.7 RS. And that's supposedly the ST, which is this. That's what I hope is a turbo. That's the one that I hope is a Turbo S manual rear-wheel drive, roll cage, stripped out, insane carbon fiber bucket seat. I mean, like real lightweight, aggressively lightweight, ducktail spoiler, driver's car.
PDK?
Nope.
Manual.
Oh,
mate.
That's what I'd heard, because it's a celebration of the original RS.
Yeah, I understand.
But you've just hit a nail on the head, because if it is an RS, if it's got an RS moniker, which is why I think it's going to be called the ST.
ST, yeah.
Then yes, PDK theoretically makes sense.
You're too fast.
Also, if it's a celebration of that iconic car, I think it has to be the 3RS engine, at which point I think it's basically an updated 911R. Because I don't think you can have a turboed RS car. Do you know what I mean?
And with a manual gearbox as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be too fast, mate.
I don't think it will add up, because it's what? Basically a manual 2RS.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Like a detuned manual 2RS.
Whatever it is, it's definitely going to be... It's going to be mental. Whatever it is, it's going to be mental. And this is the car that my friends saw testing or the promo shoot being done up in Monaco end of last year. So they've got it ready. They haven't launched it yet. And supposedly it's going to be launched around, September, which I think is the anniversary.
And what about the hybrid stuff? I mean, that's got to be coming soon.
911 hybrid, 992 hybrid is going to come out any day now.
Yeah, got to be.
That's coming. The Safari, we've seen the sort of raised suspension car, which is kind of a bit like what they did with the Cross Turismo Taycan. So,
because they've had that hybrid technology ready since like 2019.
Yeah,
because they built it ready in the current 992.
That's the whole thing. That's there. Exactly. The 992 was set up ready for hybrid technology. So we've got a whole load of. I mean, there's a Carrera T coming at some point. Much further
another
down
one.
The line. Yeah, much further down the
you
line.
You think they're lessons from before?
What a car? So we are going to be inundated, which I think is kind of cool, but also maybe a bit Gallardo-like from Lamborghini.
Yeah,
like we're going to end up with so many, but a lot of them are going to be super limited, impossible to get hold of. I think
we'll go to the same people.
ST one, I think, will literally be tiny numbers and probably already be allocated before they even announce it.
How much it will be, because. New Porsches now, I mean, they used to be, I know everything's gone up anyway, but they used to be, you know, like the people's car, the affordable supercar, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a few quid now. I mean, I wouldn't mind betting that a Vizac GT3 RS will be... 220.
Yeah, you're talking spec'd up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, 180, 190 list?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Plus options.
I think this ST thing will be 215, 220. I mean, it's going to, if it's as special as people are suggesting.
Which is 2RS money, which is what they were, plus options.
Yeah. I think that's about...
It's a lot of money.
It's going to be a lot of money. But I'd say, I mean, if there's 500 of them, people, I mean, they'll be gone before you can even blink.
Yeah.
Then all that really leaves is, picking up on a conversation I had on Spike's Car Radio, where Jerry Seinfeld gave me a shout out.
Every week you're going to say that.
I know. The next Porsche hypercar, and we spoke about this a bit on our WhatsApp chat, is if there is the 918 successor coming, what does that look like?
Well, I think it's going to have an engine still. I really do, because I don't... Although they could make it full electric, I think maybe years down the line. It will be electric, but why they can still make an engine for the flagship special car, they will do it, because Porsche, don't forget, is still all about engine, obviously. And
not all about it. Got the Taycan.
Yeah. It's all about engine.
Yeah.
So I think it still will have an engine with hybrid, maybe just a better version of a 918.
I disagree. I think it'll be electric.
Because of the Rimac.
Because of the Rimac connection. Mm. So if you don't know, Porsche are a big owner of Rimac.
Not all of it though, are they?
No,
it's a percentage.
It's a percentage, but yeah. a big owner of Rimac. Because of the way the world's going, because of everything, if they just bring out a hybrid, it's what they did 10 years ago. It's the 918.
Yeah.
It's just a better version. Like, they're not introducing anything different or special, and that's very un-Porsche. For a big flagship hypercar, I think they would like to rock the world with a 250-mile range, insane performance, electric hypercar. And if you look at that, is it the Mission R? Or the Mission, which is the sort of Cayman, the potential Cayman replacement, the EV Cayman thing.
I don't know what that's called.
I think it's called the Mission R. Anyway.
And somebody's got EV in front of it, I tend not to listen.
Yeah, of course. I just think it would be a very Porsche thing to do, to develop a very impressive, very engaging, very exciting to drive EV.
So what have they spent all this money on this synthetic fuels then for?
So,
what's this about?
Again, listening to Spikes Car Radio, because I'm now their biggest fan.
Well, he's your is as well.
Yeah, apparently. but yeah, so they had Pruninger and I've had a mind blank. They're two of the top Porsche guys. God, I've a complete mind blank. That's so embarrassing.
Pruninger is the GT, head of the GT.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the guy who did 918. What's it called? Andreas Pruninger. And then the other bloody guy who's like head of development.
No, I don't know.
Oh, I'm having a mind blank. Anyway, they said that really for them, as we know, electric vehicles, EV, e-mobility, is sort of the future. It's what's being pushed upon everyone. It's their development of Taycan, of hybrid 911, of hybrid Panamera, and all these different things. That's what they're working on. That's what they're developing, because that's what the world is putting pressure on people to do. Their synthetic fuel program is because of their current fleet and motorsport. So they're fully aware that even in 10 years' time, there is no, there's still going to be a huge combustion engine fleet in being used around the world, as we've spoken about so many times before. And you've got to find a cleaner, greener, more sustainable way to keep them on the road, to keep them moving. So that's why they're sort of looking into this development of synthetic fuels. And on top of that, for motorsport, which can lead in the development of any technology, as I've learned so many times with Shell, it's the perfect testbed to do any R&D is motorsport, because it funnels down to road cars eventually.
Yeah.
But also, at the moment, electric racing, as proved by Formula E and in some other categories, doesn't quite make sense because of the weight. Because of weight and distance and recharging, all these different things. So Porsche recognised that currently a synthetic fuel proposition is a more practical and reasonable and sustainable way to go racing. So that's why they're investing in sustainable fuels.
Well, they're customers as well, mate. I mean, Porsche customers are petrolheads. So,
of course.
You know, they need to... I believe that they've gone down that route as well because their customer base...
Yes, and I think they admitted that there's nothing quite like an engine.
No.
You know, it's a completely different solution. As good as a Taycan is, it's not got, you know...
No.
It's hard to readjust to. And I think you're right. I think they would admit that, and I think you're right. But at the same time, you know, the world's agenda is to go electric. As many times we've discussed we think it's wrong. All these different things, the ins and outs of it. And I just think to launch a hypercar... that is just a hybrid.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. But to flip the side of that, you've got the Le Mans hypercar program, which Porsche could use as a kind of testbed homologation car, whatever. That's going to be a hybrid. And all these rumors of them getting involved with Formula One 2026 engine regulations are for these sort of super complex hybrids. Then it does make sense. If it is a 1.6 liter with a huge hybrid tucked into it, and most of the power is coming from the electricity, and it's almost like the engine is a generator more than actually a component. Maybe there's something clever that can be shown off there.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think that's what it'll be. I think it'll be, there'll still be an engine, but there'll be a huge, there'll be a hugely assisted hybrid unit.
Like that Audi Dakar thing.
Yeah, but maybe like, I know you can't, it's not really like a Formula One car, but like similar hybrid, small engine, big hybrid unit, big power from the hybrid unit, small engine. I think that's probably a good shout.
Yeah, it's interesting. And what I always find fun is that whenever this happens, you often find the other manufacturers start sniffing around and talking about big hypercars too. So
we're
thinking about or looking to a LAF replacement at some point. I feel like the Daytona kind of stole the thunder of that potentially coming along anytime soon, but it will theoretically, we would expect. Valkyrie's supposed to be hitting the road at some point, Project One, as we know.
Good luck with it. That was supposed to be hitting 5 years
ago. And Toyota and anything coming out of this Le Mans hypercar program. You know, it could be that in 2024, 2025, we've got another, not even Holy Trinity, but Holy Octopulate.
Yeah.
You know, like, they could all suddenly turn up at the same time. 1.5 million euro nutcase hypercars, which would be exciting to see. But I just think, because of the world we live in and the development that must be going on right now for those cars, they will all be heavily EV focused.
Yeah, and don't forget as well, these manufacturers, they are 5-10 years ahead of us, by the way. You know, they're miles ahead in what they're going to build, and this is why we pay for the cars, as in, you know, it all goes into future development. They just keep reinvesting the money, and they're miles and miles and miles ahead in development.
Be good to find out what they're working on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a teaser when you go to these press launches, you sit down with designers or and I always go, oh, so.
Well, I remember hearing an interview with that Andrus, like, I can't say so.
I'm probably not saying it right.
I don't know, but you say it better than me. And he said all the time he was in charge of the GT product, it will always have an engine. It will always have an NA engine all the time he was in charge. Now, whether that's got to be assisted by hybrid, I mean, there was talk that, I mean, it was talk, but when I had my 3RS, they were saying that was going to be the last NA non-assisted car. Well, we already know the new one is still exactly the same, basically. So, just with a bit more aero. So, this is why I don't think they're going to quite do it yet, because they don't need to quite yet. And, yeah, in everyday stuff, Fiat 500s and normal stuff, it's fine, but the demand for that car with an engine is still greatly there for that type of car. So they'll still keep building it all the time they can.
It'll be fascinating to find out. Yeah. So we'll watch this space, but as I say, yeah, definitely this year I'm expecting to talk about many iterations and special versions of the 992, and with my desire for another Porsche, I'm going to be keeping a very close eye for any of those that are 25
what
grand.
What about the 4RS? Where's that then? Is that, that's coming?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been launched, hasn't it? I mean, deliveries are expected any day now, aren't they? I think June, July deliveries.
Yeah, I mean, we've surely got to start seeing them on the road soon, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think in a couple of months we'll start seeing some hitting.
I wonder how much they're going to be over.
250 grand?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Stupid money.
Stupid.
Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have and you're watching on the YouTube channel, please subscribe, because as we keep mentioning, we're trying to get to 50,000 subscribers, and it'd be nice to do it before the end of this year. Before the end of 2022, it would be nice to hit that number. And of course, if you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you might be listening to us, keep listening. If you are a patron and you didn't listen to this episode on the Patreon page, go over and check it out, because there's a little sneaky something for you there.
Oh, if you're intrigued, a surprise for you.
If you're intrigued as to what that might be, go sign up, become a patron, and you'll find out what that is. But yeah, no, honestly, go and look at the Patreon page.
Please.
Yeah, please. You need to. If you want to follow Tony, he's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass on most social media platforms, and we'll be back with you for another episode next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.